So, brethren, let's turn in the book of Lamentations. Lamentation is after the book of Jeremiah. Dilo tsa Jeremiah. Lamentations is the book of Isaiah, then the book of Jeremiah, then the book of Lamentations, and we read Lamentations chapter 2 from verse 11 to the end of the chapter. Lamentations chapter 2 from verse 11. So we read from verse 11 to verse 22. My eyes are spent with weeping, my stomach churns, my bile is poured out to the ground because of the destruction of the daughter of my people, because infants and babies faint in the streets of the city. They cry to their mothers, "Where is bread and wine?" as they faint like a wounded man in the streets of the city, as their life is poured out on their mother's bosom. What can I say for you? To what compare you, O daughter of Jerusalem? What can I liken to you that I may comfort you, O virgin daughter of Zion? For your ruin is vast as the sea. Who can heal you? Your prophets have seen for you false and deceptive visions. They have not exposed your iniquity to restore your fortunes, but they have seen for you oracles that are false and misleading. All who pass along the way clap their hands at you. They hiss and work their heads at the daughter of Jerusalem. Is this the city that was called the perfection of beauty, the joy of all the earth? All your enemies rail against you. They hiss, they gnash their teeth, they cry, "We have swallowed it. Ah, this is the day we longed for. Now we have it, we see it." The Lord has done what he purposed. He has carried out his word which he commanded long ago. He has thrown down without pity. He has made the enemy rejoice over you and exalted the might of your foes. Their heart cried to the Lord. O wall of the daughter of Zion, let tears stream down like a torrent day and night. Give yourself no rest, your eyes no respite. Arise, cry out in the night, at the beginning of the night watches. Pour out your heart like water before the presence of the Lord. Lift your hands to him for the lives of your children who faint for hunger at the head of every street. Look, O Lord, and see, with whom have you dealt thus? Should women eat the fruit of the womb, the children of the tender care? Should priest and prophet be killed in the sanctuary of the Lord? In the dust of the streets lie the young and the old. My young women and my young men have fallen by the sword. You have killed them in the day of your anger, slaughtering without pity. You summoned as if to a festival day my terrors on every side, and on the day of the anger of the Lord no one escaped or survived. Those whom I held and raised, my enemy destroyed. Let's close our eyes and pray. Oh Lord, this is your word that we have high hopes in. Your word that this same prophet said, it is powerful, it's like a hammer that crushes a rock. May indeed this word prevail over unbelief. May this word, O Lord, to prevail over the works of the devil. May this word be the one that you use to sanctify your children, to convict those who do not know you, that all may be subject to you, that all may bow before you and give you glory. Work, O Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, brethren, we find ourselves then in this book of Lamentations. And just to tell you, the word Lamentations means to show great sorrow or sadness over something that is happening. And this is a book that was written by the prophet Jeremiah, a prophet who was sent by God to the people of Judah. And Jeremiah was sent by God to warn the people of Judah to repent and to turn back to their God. He had spent more than 40 years preaching to these people of Judah, persuading them, calling unto them to return to their God, the God of their fathers who took them out of Egypt. So he had been relentless. He had been preaching steadfastly without giving up. He had been preaching to them the word of God, to the people who failed to listen to him, to the people who failed to heed any of the warnings that he had given to them. So just by context, we see that after the death of King Josiah, the king of Judah, this king who had done the things which were right in the eyes of the Lord, all the kings that followed after him, they rejected the God of Israel. King after king came into power, and every one of them rejected the word of God. And whenever Jeremiah the prophet came to them and told them the words of God, they rejected them. And in their stubbornness, they led the people of Israel into rebellion against their God. They made the people of Judah to reject the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to go and worship the idols that were there in those areas. And as Jeremiah is writing this book of Lamentation, the king who was king of Judah at the time was King Zedekiah. The king who the Bible describes him in the book of 2 Chronicles, he says that he did not humble himself before Jeremiah the prophet, who spoke from the mouth of the Lord. And we hear that this king, he stiff-necked his neck, he was stubborn. He hardened his heart against turning to the Lord, the God of Israel. And we see here where we just read, in verse 14, that the people of Judah preferred to listen to the prophecies of the false prophets, who gave them false and deceptive visions, instead of listening to the true prophecies of Jeremiah the prophet, the prophecies which were true. And we hear in verse 14 that these false prophets failed to expose the sins of the people. They ignored the sins that were being done in Judah. Instead, they told the people that the things they were doing, they were fine. That there were things that they were engaging in, this false worship, that there was nothing wrong with it, that the people were supposed to continue living that way because they were pleasing in the sight of the Lord, which of course was a lie. And as a result, the people of Judah continued in a downward road to destruction. So where we are reading, we realize that something had happened and that God had brought judgment against these stubborn people of Judah. And finally, having been patient with them for so long, having been steadfast in his love for his people, God brought judgment against his people of Judah through the arm of the nation of the Babylonians, through the arm of King Nebuchadnezzar. And we see that God delivered them to their sinful desires. And as a result, the Babylonians attacked them in war and killed many of them. And those that they did not kill, they took them away to Babylon to go and become slaves. But there was a few people, a remnant, which remained in Jerusalem to live in a place which was full of the dead bodies, the bodies of dead people that were lying in the streets, people who were meant to live in the houses which were burned. Because when the Babylonians came, they killed people, they burned all the houses, they burned the temple, and then they took the good people of Jerusalem, they took to Babylon to be slaves. And then they left the poor people to remain in the place of Jerusalem. So this is the situation then, as Jeremiah is making this prophecy, or as he's writing this book of Lamentation. He's telling us of the sorrow that he's going through as a result of the punishment that God brought to his people because of their sin. He's seeing infants, babies, fainting in the streets of Jerusalem. He's seeing hunger that is crippling the city to such an extent that children cry out for food from their mothers, and their mothers had none to give them. And their hunger was so great that the mothers were killing their own children and cooking them so that they may have food to eat. Because what the Babylonians did, they shut the whole city so that there may not be food that comes into the place of Jerusalem. So we see also that the temple of God, that great place that was built by King Solomon and was the highlight of the city, was the place that everybody wanted to see when they went to Jerusalem. Itself, it was not spared this humiliation. And we see that the prophets and the priests of God were killed right inside the temple. And that the Babylonians had went into the temple and took the gold and silver cups that were inside the temple, and they took it to Babylon with them. We see that the Holy of Holies, a place where God dwelt, that place which was the most sacred place inside of that temple, that place was desecrated. It was trampled upon by the Gentiles who were not even allowed to enter inside the temple. Never mind to go to the most holiest of places inside the temple. And in the end, the very temple that was built by King Solomon was burnt. And there was nothing that was left of it. So as Jeremiah is saying these things, everywhere he is looking, there was death. Death of his own people. Everywhere he looked was sorrow in the eyes of his own people. All the nice buildings of Jerusalem were burned, and all the noble people of the city were taken captive to be slaves to the Babylonians. But just to tell you about this man, Jeremiah, this was a man who was mistreated by the people of Judah. This was a man who had been beaten many times because of his prophecies that he had made. This was the man who had been thrown into prison by the same people of Judah. This was a man who at one time he was thrown into a hole full of mud, so that he may drown through that mud and die of suffocation. He was the most hated man in all of Judah. He was seen as a prophet of doom, a man who never says any good things about Judah, a man who kings hated because all his prophecies were not good. He was seen as a man who was not patriotic, a man who was not loving, who was not loyal to his country. He was seen as a man who desired to see the failure of his government. So the people wanted to get rid of him by all means. And they tried all the ways to try to kill him, to try to silence him, to try to shut him up, that he may not speak anymore. And they tried to kill him. They threw him into prison. They threw him into a sin. This was a man who was mistreated so much by the people of Judah. But how does this man react to the reality that the same people who mistreated him so much are now under the judgment of God? How does he react when he sees those who sought to kill him, they themselves being killed now? How does he react when he sees the royal family that threw him into prison many times, now being taken as prisoners to Babylon? How does he react when he see how he was treated like a slave and seeing his own people being taken to go and become slaves? Does he rejoice? Does he go into the streets of Jerusalem singing songs of praise because he had been vindicated? Does he go to those false prophets who had lied to the people and say, "Look, aha, now I am proving that I am the prophet of God and you are not"? Does he do that? Does he go to the royal family and say to them, "See, I told you this day will come. I told you the judgment of God will come, and now it has come, so this is a vindication that what I was telling you was the truth"? The answer we see is that no, he does not rejoice. He does not go and say, "I am being vindicated, that now this is proof that I am the prophet of God, that all the things I've been telling you was true." What do we see? We see that he cries, he weeps, he mourns for them. He says in verse 11, "My eyes are spent with weeping." He can't help himself but cry when he sees such destruction of his people. He cannot help but cry when he sees the noble people of Judah being slaughtered like dogs by uncircumcised Gentiles that they looked downwards to. He cannot help but mourn as he sees unbelievers dragging the loved ones of God, the chosen people of God, into slavery. He sees the descendants of Abraham rejected by the same God of Abraham, and this causes him to weep. He says, "All I do is cry and weep, and because of that, my eyes are spent, my eyes are tired, my eyes cannot handle crying anymore." He says, "How can I rejoice when my people are destroyed like this?" And hear him again in verse 11. He says, "My stomach churns, my pile is poured out to the ground, because of the destruction of the daughter of my people." This is a man who says, "How can I eat when infants ask their mothers, 'Where is bread and wine?' How can my stomach rejoice when the daughter of my people are destroyed? How do I sit down and enjoy a meal in the midst of such destruction of the people of God?" So we see here that his heart was clearly heartbroken. He had lost strength to compose himself. He was depressed. His depression was such that he could describe it as though his stomach had been cut open and the insides of the stomach were poured out to the ground. And that is how depressed he was. So we see that this destruction of his people affected him greatly. And this was not just a political nation being destroyed here, but it was the church of God himself. The ones who were being destroyed like this were not just people, just a nation like any other nation, but the people whom God had dwelt among them. God had revealed his glory to the people of Judah. He had dwelt amongst them in that holy of holies in the temple. God had revealed to them in many ways, and the nations around them knew that these were the people who claim that God dwells amongst us. They knew that indeed if there were people on earth who had God live among them, then these people of Judah are those people. And we see that when the nations around them heard that Judah, these people of God, the church of the living God on earth at the time had been destroyed, they rejoiced. Unlike Jeremiah, who was depressed, who was in sorrow, the nations rejoiced, knowing that these were the people that God had revealed himself to. They sought to discredit them and their God. Hear them say in verse 15. He says, all who pass along the way clap their hands at you. They hiss and wag their heads at the daughter of Jerusalem. Is this the city that was called the perfection of beauty, the joy of all the earth? Notice something. These nations had themselves been subject to the same Babylonians. But that did not make them sympathize when they saw the people of Judah being treated this way. Instead, they saw what had happened to Judah as far greater than that which happened to them. And because of that, it made them rejoice. So they say, are these the people who thought they were the joy of all the earth? Are these the people who thought they were favored by their God amongst all the other people of the earth? Are these the ones who thought they were special people? Are these the ones who call themselves the perfection of beauty? Are they the ones who were the elect of God and loved by their God? If that is so, then look at them now. Look at their destruction. In verse 16, Jeremiah says, they hiss, they gnash their teeth, they cry, we have swallowed her. Ah, this is the day we longed for. Now we have it, we see it. So the enemies of Judah thought they finally got her. They finally destroyed her. And it did not matter that they themselves were subject to the Babylonians, that they were paying tribute to King Nebuchadnezzar. But when they saw what had happened to Judah, they said, this is good. So the prophet then, he weeps. He's in sorrow because God in his judgment against Judah has resulted in Judah's enemies rejoicing over her. He says that in verse 17. He says, the Lord has done what he purposed. He has carried out his word, which he commanded long ago. He has thrown down without pity. He has made the enemy rejoice over you and exalted the might of your foes. So you see, brethren, God had to judge Judah because Judah had sinned greatly against him. But here we see the judgment of God resulting in the enemies of Judah, in the people who hated the same God, now rejoicing because of what they see, this judgment of God against his people. Here were the nations who worshipped the Baals and the Molochs, the God they created with their own hands, the gods that they had sacrificed their children to. But now they are rejoicing over something that God had done. God that they hated. They rejoice because he had done something that makes them rejoice. That was unthinkable to Prophet Jeremiah. He tore the heart out of his body, as it were. to have unbelievers rejoicing because the people of God had their own God rejecting them. The people of Judah had their only rock and salvation, the Lord of Lords turning against them because of their sin. So you can understand what I'm trying to show you here. This will be like God rejecting us as Sovereign Grace Bible Church, and as a result causing unbelievers to rejoice over us. And we find ourselves in a situation where we cannot even cry to the same God because He's the one inflicting judgment upon us. So these people of Judah found themselves in a place where they cannot go anywhere because the God that they are used to going to is the one who is bringing this judgment upon them. They can't cry out to God because He's the one who is inflicting them. And they can't cry out to their neighbors because they are rejoicing over this infliction that is being poured upon them. So those who hated God rejoiced because of something He had done to the people He loved. And this was the worst thing that could have ever happened to the people of God. And it caused great distress to Prophet Jeremiah. It shocked him that indeed God will do such a thing. So it is clear then in the mind of this prophet that something had to be done. It's obvious that judgment had already come. He could not stop this judgment. But there was still something that could be done by the people of Judah. And this is what Prophet Jeremiah says should be done by the same people who had been inflicted by God because of their sins. And we saw the answer in verse 18 to 19. Let's turn there. He says, O wall of the daughter of Zion, let tears stream down like a torrent day and night. Give yourself no rest, your eyes no respite. Arise, cry out in the night, at the beginning of the night watches. Pour out your heart like water before the presence of the Lord. Lift your hands to Him for the lives of your children, who faint for hunger at the head of every street. Prophet Jeremiah says, let tears stream down like a torrent day and night. This was the same man who had said, my eyes are spent with weeping. And is the same one who preaches that the people should not cease to have tears flowing from their eyes day and night. He said the people of Judah should cry during the day and cry during the night. The same one, the same prophet who had said, my eyes were tired from crying, is the same one who says, give yourself no rest, your eyes no respite. He's telling them not to give their eyes rest. He's telling them not to sleep at night, but to spend their night crying. Wake up, he says, why sleep when your children are dying in the streets? He says, pour out your heart like water before the presence of the Lord. He's saying, be depressed. May your heart be depressed over the destruction of the church of God. But notice something very important. The people are not just to cry, mourn and weep and be depressed like the rest of the nations will do if similar thing had happened to them. Instead, they are to cry and mourn and weep and be depressed before the presence of the Lord. They have to do these things in the direction of God. They are to mourn with an intention of seeking the face of God. They are not to just deny themselves sleep at night for no other reason, but to deny themselves sleep at night because they are seeking God. they are to seek the one who had inflicted this judgment upon them. And what are they to say to him who has allowed that destruction to happen? Are they just to cry, mourn and weep and be depressed and then say nothing? What are they then to say to the same God who had allowed this judgment to come through the Babylonians? In verse 20, Jeremiah says, "Look, O Lord, and see. Look, O Lord, and see." And this is what they are to say to this God. Look, O Lord, and see. They are to call unto God to see the destruction that is happening to his people. They are to call unto him who does not sleep nor slumber to look and see. For God to see such sorrow, such misery that has befallen his people, the apple of his eyes. They are to remind God that, oh God, we are but the dust of the earth. And because of that, may you relent from your wrath. And then Jeremiah says, in verse 22, "With whom have you dealt thus? Should women eat the fruit of the womb, the children of their tender care? Should priest and prophet be killed in the sanctuary of the Lord? In the dust of the street lie the young and the old. My young women and my young men had fallen by the sword. You have killed them in the day of your anger, slaughtering without pity. You summoned as if to a festival day my terrors on every side, and on the day of the anger of the Lord, no one escaped or survived. Those whom I held and raised, my enemy destroyed." The essence of Jeremiah's message to the people of Judah is that the people should plead with God to relent from his wrath. They are to beg him to consider the frailness of his people and have compassion over them. He's to look and see the suffering of his chosen people, and instead of dealing with them in his wrath, but rather to deal with them in his mercy. They are to remind God that, God, look and see your temple. Look and see that your sanctuary has been destroyed. The very place where you dwelt, O Lord, has been burned to ashes. And having pleaded with him in this way, then God should be overcome with jealousy for the glory of his name. Regardless of the fact that the people had sinned so greatly, but God should consider the glory of his name, that the nations are insulting the people of Judah and insulting his great name, and then be overcome with jealousy, so that God's name may not be insulted any further. They are to remind God that the ones he is inflicting with his wrath upon are called by his name. And for the sake of his name, he should act graciously. And we see that this is the very thing that Prophet Jeremiah was determined to do. If you turn to chapter 3, verse 49 to 50, he says that, "My eyes will flow without ceasing, without respite, until the Lord from heaven looks down and sees. My eyes cause me grief at the fate of all the daughters of my city." Jeremiah says, "I will cry and call unto God to look and see. And I will not rest until he from heaven looks down and sees this that is happening." But Jeremiah does not want to be the only one who does that. He wants the whole nation to do the very thing. To cry out to God until he sees and have compassion, because that is the solution in the midst of such destruction. Doesn't this lamentation of Jeremiah remind you of the lamentation of our Savior Jesus Christ over the same city of Jerusalem, the same people of Judah, but now in a different time, crying over the descendants of the very people. Hundreds of years after Jeremiah, he found himself faced with the same situation. Jeremiah and Judah were once more to be destroyed. Why? They had sinned the same way that their forefathers had sinned against God. And once more, they had refused to repent from their sins and to listen to the prophets that God had sent to them. Once more, Jerusalem and Judah had gathered for itself false prophets, these Pharisees and Sadducees, who taught the people lies, and people refused to listen to the true prophets of God. And what did Jesus do when faced with the same situation that Jeremiah was faced with? We see in Matthew 23 from verse 37 and also in Luke chapter 19 from verse 41 that Jesus cried out over Jerusalem the same way as Jeremiah had done. What did he say? He said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often will I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing? Would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace. But now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side and tear you down to the ground, you and your children. And they will not leave one stone upon another in you, because you did not know the time of your visitation." That's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 23 and also in Luke chapter 19. So what do we learn from this lamentation over Judah and Jerusalem? We learn that a man and a woman of God has a duty over his nation to cry and weep over it. We learn that our eyes should never be dry when we think of our nation that is under the judgment of God. We learn that our weeping should not cease when we think of the children of these nations who are taken to the clinics to be killed in the wombs of their mothers. And when we think of these things, when we see these things happening, we should say like Jeremiah, "Oh Lord, should women eat the fruit of the womb, the children of the tender care? Would you forgive, oh Lord?" When we see the murders happening in our street, we should cry out to God like Jeremiah did, "Oh Lord, in the dust of the street lie the young and the old. My young women and my young men have fallen by the sword. You have killed them in the day of your anger, slaughtering without pity. Would you forgive, O Lord?" We should cry out for the people of this place like Jesus did. He cried out and say, "Oh Jerusalem, Jerusalem." We should say, oh Olivet, the city that killed the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. Would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. So ask yourself a question then. When you look at this place of Olivet, does it fill you with sadness? When you remember it while you are in your bed at night, does it make you cry out to God? When you see 12-year-old girls being pregnant, does it cause you to weep before God without resting? When you hear of infants being thrown into the dustbins,
Does your heart go out to God? Do you pour out your heart to God like a torrent? Because it should. If it does not cause us to weep before God, then we should evaluate ourselves, because there might be something wrong with us. How is it that Jeremiah can weep when he sees his city under the judgment of God? But we can see this place of Olivet being under the same judgment. It may not have been under the same severity, but we see the judgment. We see the things happening. Does it cause us to cry out? Because Jeremiah cried for Jerusalem. Jesus cried for Jerusalem. If you read the book of Isaiah 62 to 66, we see Isaiah cried for Jerusalem. If you go to the book of Kings, you see Elijah cried for Jerusalem. Our Jerusalem is Olivet. And we are from the same lineage as the Jeremiahs and the Elijahs and the Jesus. And we have to cry for Olivet. It is our duty. It is our service to the place, to the people of this place. They will not cry for themselves. They will not weep for their families. But it is left unto us to weep for them. But remember that we saw that the destruction of Jerusalem was a destruction of not just a nation, but of the church of God. And this was the most painful thing for Jeremiah. Because this destruction of Jerusalem meant that the church had been destroyed. It meant that the church was dead. The priests were killed. The temple was burned. There was no longer going to be daily sacrifices being made unto God. And that was the main reason that caused him to weep the way he wept. We should ask ourselves then, when we think of the church of God, by the church of God, I do not mean just this church, by the church of God generally, does it cause us to weep before the Lord? Does it cause us to fill our pillows with tears day and night? When we think of what is happening in the churches today, right now, does it fill us with sadness? Does it fill us with sorrow that only God can cure? When we think of all these tents around here, there's one up there, there's one just there, there's one here, he was making noise this morning. When we think of the things that are happening there, when they are selling water and telling people this water will heal you, when they are feeding people snakes and making people drink petrol, does it cause us to weep before God? Or do we see that as something funny, some joke that we share around and say, look at them? Because when Jeremiah saw the church of God being destroyed the way it was, he said, my eyes are spent with weeping. He said, my bile is poured out to the ground because of the destruction of the daughter of my people. He did not find the destruction of the church funny. He cried until his eyes were sore. He was depressed over the church of the living God. I pray that we may also be the same. Let us cry out to God for his church, which has been turned into a laughing stock of the nations. Even Muslims, when they think of the church of God, they see it as something to be laughed at. But that we may cry out, that, O Lord, look and see. O Lord, look down from heaven and see the destruction that is happening to your church. And let us be determined that our eyes will not rest until the Lord looks down from heaven and sees. we should not give up. We should pray. We should cry out day and night that God, may you look down and see the destruction of your church. Let's close our eyes and pray. Oh Lord, you are an unchanging God. You are a God who speaks the same way, regardless of the generation that lives at that time. Your word does not change. You still want us to cry over these people that we live amongst, the people who are indeed under your judgment, that we may cry out to you and say, O Lord, look and see. Have compassion, O Lord. Pour out your spirit amongst us, that you may move even amongst the people of this place. Look at your church, O Lord. The church which has been turned into a playing ground, where any man can just wake up one day and start a church and call himself a preacher. Would you look and see, O Lord? Be gracious to pour out your spirit, O Lord, that your name may be glorified. May you be jealous for your name, which has been humiliated even amongst the nations, even this morning. That you may be jealous over it. That you may be known that indeed you are the living God. That you have your people even in this world. Work, O Lord, we pray. Even we pray for this small church you have established here, that you may look from heaven and see our suffering, that you may see the persecution we are going through, that indeed you may establish us, that indeed you may bring your glory, that we may see it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.